Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Time now for Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Issel and Louis on ESPN 680-105.7. However you're listening to us, we appreciate you spending part of your day with us. Louis is off today and tomorrow, and sitting in for Louis, our good friend from Horse Racing Happy Hour, Mr. Mike Gandolfo. Mike, how are you?
I am great, Dan. How are you?
I'm terrific. Louie, we'll get this out. We'll get all the promos out of the way at the beginning. But Louie sent me a text last night that said your podcast, Horse Racing Happy Hour, was like in the top 5% of Spotify's podcasts. Is that correct?
We're up there. I mean, we're one of the, I mean, something like all six inhabited continents, 66 countries. You know, it's amazing just how that show has taken off, and it's taken off organically, which I think is really kind of cool. It's not, Louis and I aren't running some kind of like massive social media campaign to get listeners, but we're being real and authentic, and it's just like, it's, you know, you've been on the show shirtless.
Yep.
It's just us talking.
That was one of the worst career decisions I've made. Go ahead.
What about for your marriage? Was it a good marriage decision? Like, yeah, but I think at the end of the day, like, it's truly two guys like pretend like they're sitting around the bar talking about horse racing. So we don't get in the weeds overly much, which I think horse racing talk tends to get into the weeds pretty quickly. And we try to be approachable to a lot of fans, and it's a lot of fun. We enjoy it.
You know, I think you really hit on something, because horse racing, especially the betting aspect of it, can be pretty overwhelming for people who have never done it before. And so I think that's certainly the way to draw more interested people to horse racing, is to make it as simple as possible.
You know, it's also interesting to me, Dan, because I just noticed this. There's three people that I've met through horse racing media who have been on Jeopardy, and which makes me think that there is a, like, this constant fight just to say, like, you know, I'm smarter than you kind of thing. And at the end of the day, you know, I think Louis and I are both pretty intelligent people, but at the end of the day, like, I'm very cognizant of trying to just bring people down at the knowledge level of where they are, and just invite them into the conversation. That's what we want to do.
Yeah, no, it's a great podcast, and congratulations on the success. A reminder that the first hour of Issel and Louis is brought to you by our friends at Kentucky Tourism, KentuckyTourism.com. Mike, I know you're a big UK fan.
I am.
I would like to kind of get your assessment of the football season and the expectations and how it really played out.
Yeah, because I'm fascinated about, to me, like, right now and what's going on this week in football is probably almost more interesting to me than anything else that's gone on throughout the year. Just to watch the moves that have happened now that the running back coach is gone, and rightfully so. I mean, that position is not developed. I mean, I think the one staple that Kentucky's been able to have is they've been able to really fill that one and two running back spot for a long time, going back to Benny Snell, JoJo Kemp. Like, it's always been, they've had guys, and they've always had like the Chris Rodriguez almost type runner. So I was happy to see that change. I think when it looked at what happened with Rich as far as the offensive coordinating position, I think that at the end of the day, I don't know how you felt, Dan. I felt like we had more weapons on offense than, man, going. It's been a long time since we've had these kind of weapons on offense. And even if Levis is hurt, and even if the offensive line is not developed the way it is, I think John Schlarman not being a presence in this football program was very evident. I expected that a good creative offensive coordinator could get the ball in the hands of our playmakers more than what we were able to do. And really, like, we didn't even really use the tight end. Like, that tight end position in Kentucky is so deep, and I don't think they used that position nearly as much as what they could have done. I mean, the touches just weren't there. I didn't think we could get them. And sometimes we got overly creative. Like, I was at that South Carolina game when Levis wasn't playing, and we tried to get too cute early on, and we gave up the early turnover, which turned into the touchdown, and then we were playing from behind the entire game. So, for me, this was a extremely disappointing season, especially with how we started. I wonder if the Ole Miss game would have gone the other way, which it very easily could have. If we're talking about another 10-win season, I feel like that loss probably impacted the program, really took the air out of the program really quickly. And I also think physically, I think that's where Levis's injury issues really started. And that's why, like, I'm going to tell you right now, Dan, you and I are completely different on this. Like, I'm going to be disappointed if Will Levis plays in the bowl game. Will Levis needs to get healthy, and he needs to get ready for his NFL career. And he has done enough for this program to get us to where we are. And if he was healthy going into it, like, I'm not the guy that you should go in there like thinking you're going to get injured. But if you're already injured, at some point you've got to like just decide to put it on the shelf. I mean, how many days once you got into college, how many days did you feel 100% after you started working out at that level?
Yeah, well, you know, everybody, especially this time of year, everybody's going to have bumps and bruises. The only guys that don't, you know, have a little pain getting out of bed are the guys that are on the bench that never get to play. You and I, you have taken Louis's position on this bowl game, and I am completely opposite. I think that, you know, the Will Levis is going to be a first round pick if in fact that's what happens, because of the opportunity that Kentucky gave him. And so I really have a problem with these guys. And I saw the first one was online yesterday. The cornerback from Penn State, Joey Porter Jr., declared for the draft and said, "I'm not playing in the bowl game." I just don't think that's right. You were given an opportunity by this institution. You can get hurt doing anything. You can get hurt in the weight room. And so I just don't agree with that position. I think the school gave you an opportunity. They go to a bowl game. You ought to participate. I think if you opt out, that's 100%. I'm only worried about me. I'm not worried about anybody else. I find it very interesting, Mike, that I'm sure Levis has decided.
Oh, I'm sure he has too.
And he's not going to announce it until Kentucky gets their bowl bid. And I also think, I mean, that's, to me, that's also a little underhanded that, you know, well, will he play, won't he play? And they get the best possible bowl bid. And at this point, it really doesn't matter because, you know, what's the difference between the Las Vegas Bowl and the Music City Bowl?
Well, I'll tell you what the difference is there, Dan, by the way. The difference is 2 weeks of practice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's a big deal. When you got these, when we have so many young players on that squad that we're going to try to start. You start to showcase people, younger players in these bowl games that maybe didn't get an opportunity as much in the regular season. We saw that with the linebacker Tevin Wallace against Iowa last year. At the end of the day, like those 2 weeks of practice do matter, especially from a developmental standpoint. And I would agree. I agree. Like, for example, I agree with, like, I think Shaedon Sharpe did Kentucky wrong. I agree with that 100%. And I agree with almost all of what you're – I mean, I agree that it's team first. And if you're not – it's the fact that he's already injured. If he wasn't already injured, like if he's already put his body on the line for this program in so many ways this season. Like, at some point, you know, he needs to go get healthy, and he's going to go in the first round. depending on where he goes in the first round, could mean the difference in a whole lot of money in that first contract.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
And and at some point, we got to just say as fans, like, hey, man, thank you for what you've done for us. Like, we're going to cheer for you like crazy in the NFL, which Kentucky fans will, right? I mean, I think in a lot of ways, this will be the Lamar Jackson kind of feel for Kentucky fans if Levis pans out, which I do think he will. But maybe it serves him better. Maybe it serves him better to go later in the first round. I mean, you asked Tim Couch, I'm sure he would have rather gone later in the first round than go to that Browns who had no offensive line whatsoever. So,
yeah, that ended his career pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, that was a shame. Where do you stand as far as the new contract that Stoops got? Are you okay with that? I made the statement yesterday. It's going to cost them, unless Sangarello goes and gets another job, it's going to cost Kentucky $2.65 million to pay Rich over the next 2 years. It sounds like the football program's just got money to burn down there. Are you all right with Stoops' new contract?
I am. And I think, honestly, like, the fact that we're disappointed with a 7-5 season is telling me that he's worth every freaking penny. And, okay. Again, I go back to Louis's a big Michigan State fan. Who would you rather have, Mark Stoops or Mel Tucker?
Oh, yeah, that's an easy one. I'll take Mark over that one, that's for sure.
And he has done one thing for Kentucky football that really is unprecedented, and that's really like come in and give. I think this is the first time where I've really felt like Kentucky has a program, right? We heard Scott Davenport talk about the difference between having a program and having a plan. They have a program. They have every decision is made is calculated, and I at the end of the day, like, I feel like Kentucky football is moving in the right direction, and now that we might have a 12-team college football playoff, like, it changes your goals. You know, I mean, yeah. is it unreasonable?
And it looks like with the Rose Bowl's decision, the Rose Bowl has been played at 2 o'clock on New Year's Day for what? 70 years or more.
Right.
And so they were holding out, the Rose Bowl committee was holding out for that spot, and the playoffs couldn't guarantee them that they would have that spot. And so the Rose Bowl has finally backed off of that position. And so it looks like we'll have a 12-team playoff next year.
2024 is that I think is what they're saying, right?
Okay.
So not 2023.
Year after next. Okay.
And then we'll have Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC. I guess the thing that's going to be interesting to me, Dan, to see how that plays out. But for Kentucky and Louisville both, having that 12-team playoff changes everything, because the obtainability of actually getting into the playoff is a lot greater. And actually, I think it probably helps out U of L more than it helps out UK, because I think you and I would agree that if they do this, it should be the conference champions, maybe one or two of the mid-major programs if they had a really good year, and then the rest should be maybe we have one more Big Ten team and the rest should just be SEC teams. But at the end of the day, that's probably not going to happen. Like, I don't know if they're going to take four SEC teams in that 12.
Probably not.
But they probably would take two ACC teams, and is it unreasonable for Louisville to get to the top two in the ACC?
Absolutely not. You're absolutely right. The ACC is really, and we talked about this the other day. I think right now the ACC is easily the worst of the Power Five conferences when it comes to football.
I don't think there's a question about it, and it became very evident to me again just looking at Notre Dame. And I do like Notre Dame, and Notre Dame was, especially offensively, was abysmal this year. I mean, this was a terrible, even though they went 8-4. This is not a good Notre Dame team, and when I saw what they did first to North Carolina, who is probably the second best team in the ACC, and that score was 45-32, but it was actually a lot more lopsided than that. It was like, and that was at North Carolina, and then they went to Syracuse, who was on the up and up, and destroyed Syracuse, and then they destroyed Clemson. I'm like, I don't know if there's an ACC team that deserves to be in the top 25. I'm gonna put that out there right there. I don't. Yeah. Clemson maybe, but I don't know if that's really true or not.
Yeah, Well, a reminder that on Thursday, as always, at 10:30, Ben Roberts of the Herald Leader will be here to discuss UK's upcoming trip to England, where they will play Michigan. Do you know, Mike, the last time UK basketball team went to London?
1948 Olympics. And I know that because my good friend, and I'm guessing he was a friend of yours as well, but Ralph Beard brought me his gold medal, showed me his gold medal, and would talk about that trip. And when I was coaching high school basketball, the school I was at, we won our first ever district. They won the school's ever first ever district tournament game. Like, they never even won a district tournament game. So we won a district tournament game, and we actually used the old Mayo High School facility. And so when we won that, then and this is the day before my daughter was born, by the way. So I luckily had to go to my daughter's delivery and miss my team playing against Mayo, because my school only had about 60 boys in it. So that worked out. That Mayo team had Michael Bush and all those guys. So I was very happy to just sit that one out. I'm going to let my assistant coach take that L. But Ralph came in and talked to my team. You know, and he gives, and if you haven't heard the, and you know, most basketball people probably haven't, but Ralph gives this great talk about how quickly, how much you got to cherish just being in the moment in basketball, because of how quickly it could just all be taken away. And if people don't know Ralph Beard's story, Ralph Beard might be one of the greatest athletes to ever play at the University of Kentucky.
Let me tell you this. My father-in-law, who just passed away at the age of 97, saw the Fabulous Five play an alumni gym.
Oh, wow.
In Lexington. And, you know, after I took his daughter off of his hands, he always said I was his favorite UK player. But he would tell you the best player over that period of time, the best player he ever saw at the University of Kentucky was Ralph Beard.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you hear that pretty consistently, and it's just, you know, this guy just was incredible. And then he got caught into a point shaving scandal and lost basketball forever. So
yeah, you know, if you don't know that story, you ought to. I'm sure you can find it out there on some platform. But it's an amazing story. They, first of all, they were shaving points, but Mike, they were so good, they never intentionally lost a game.
Right.
They just shaved points to keep it under the spread, which to me is absolutely amazing in the first place that they were that good they could do that. And then they went to Indianapolis and started their own NBA team called the Indianapolis Olympians, because they won the gold medal in 48. And then, as you said, it came out and they were all banned from the NBA forever. But yeah, there were some great players. Alex Groza.
Did Groza coach you for a couple of games?
Yes. Yeah. When he was, and I can't remember, it was an interim situation. He worked in the Colonel's front office. And I can't remember, somebody was out and somebody was coming in. Maybe it was my rookie year, before Frank came up and started coaching us. But yeah, he did coach the Colonels for a few games.
So and I guess that was after he coached at Bellarmine, or maybe it was right before he coached at Bellarmine.
No, it was after.
It would have been after.
Yeah, because he was working in the Colonel's front office, and then he moved to California and was and worked in the front office in San Diego. So yeah, Bellarmine would have been before the Colonel's.
Okay. Yeah, because Bellarmine would have been, pretty much a new university at that point. So
yeah, yeah. So Ben Roberts will join us at the bottom of the hour to talk about all things UK basketball. And at 11 o'clock, Jay Davis, in his regular spot, will talk about all things. But just a reminder, I want to tell you about my friends at Bear Nose Pizza. There are 14 area locations in Kentuckiana. It's my favorite spot to watch the games. Great food, great drinks, and great people. Bear Nose has you covered for lunch or dinner, carry out, delivery, or dine in. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza. Okay, let's get back to the football.
Oh, no, I got to ask you a question because I'm trying to look up this rookie year of you. Were you the top scorer in the ABA as a rookie?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'll tell you, I was fighting. I know that I had I think I only missed one game my rookie year, maybe two games. But I was fighting with Rick Barry for the scoring championship, and so we were at the end of the season, and our place in the playoffs had been decided, and so we had three games left, and so Frank Ramsey was our coach, great six
player,
man with about Boston Celtics and Naismith Hall of Famer. And so he said, let's get Issel this scoring championship. So in the third to the last game, and I don't remember the competition, but in the third to the last game, I had 51 points. Then in the next to the last game, we were playing somebody that I had a hard time scoring against. And so Frank
sat. Who was that?
I don't remember.
Okay, all right.
I'm surprised
by that. I thought you would know for sure. I'd be like, you know, this guy.
So Frank sat me for that game, and on purpose, which is one of the 24 games I missed as a professional player. And then in the last game of the year, I scored 51 again. So I scored 51 points in back-to-back games and won the scoring championship.
Wow. Wow. So Basketball Hall of Famer Frank Ramsey. So you had two UK greats coach you that season with Groza for two games. And then Gene Rhodes was the head coach when you came in. And, I mean, local legend Gene Rhodes, right? I mean, just –
Yeah.
I don't know how well he would have translated.
We had hired Mike Storn. Mike Storn was a general manager with the Pacers and had put that great Pacer team together. And when the ownership changed, the Colonels were owned originally by Joe and Mamie Gregory.
Yes.
And then after 3 years, you know, the ABA started going, and it wasn't just a little league that didn't cost a lot of money anymore. I mean, it was starting to get into big dollars. And that's when the Gregorys sold it to the partnership.
With John Y. Brown and all them.
And all of those people. And so they made the decision. They always thought big. They signed Mike Pratt and I. The next year they got Artis Gilmore. And so they went and hired Mike Storn away from the Pacers as a general manager. And he and Gene, for some reason, didn't get along. I don't know what the background was there, but I do remember we were, 9 or 10 games into my rookie year. And, you know, at the old Freedom Hall, you walk down a little ramp and you turn right to go into the Colonel's locker room, left to go into the visitors. And then if you went straight, you hit the back door and you were out of Freedom Hall. So We play the ninth or tenth game in Freedom Hall, and I'm, 20 feet behind Gene Rhodes walking to the locker room. And Gene doesn't turn right to go into our locker room. He walks right out the back door. And that was the end of his coaching. But then later on, when John Y. owned the team by himself, then Gene was back with the organization again because Mike Storn had moved on to become commissioner of the ABA. But I'll never forget that. He didn't come in and say he was gone. He didn't say goodbye. He just kept right on walking out the back door, and he was gone.
So Gene Rhodes, to take this full circle, I believe, played high school basketball with Ralph Beard when they were at Mail together. So, and then of course he won a state championship with, in 1958 with St. X. So that's the tie. So you, just to let people know what this show is probably going to be, Dan, as you asked me, when's the last time Kentucky played in London? And we just went complete tangents for like 20 minutes all the way down to Gene Rhodes and great ABA stories. So there, that's what you're in for today.
Well, so. I could talk ABA and the thing that's amazing to me, Mike, is the ABA might be more popular today than it was when we were actually playing. I mean, the great players that came out of the ABA. There's a documentary that's going to come out later next year that has been purchased by Amazon. And these people, I can't imagine how much money they're spending putting this documentary together. They were in Denver for 2 days talking to me and to other ABA people, none of whose names you would recognize. So I'm really looking forward to that. But I could talk about the ABA all day long.
Ah, I love it. Fantastic stuff right there. So, all right. But I'm sure you don't want to talk about the ABA all day long. So,
no.
Just a reminder, tonight the Kenny Payne Show is going to be on from 7 to 8 on 93.9 The Ville, and you can also listen on the ESPN Louisville app. Also tonight, the Patriots and the Bills, Thursday Night Football. You get to actually probably, at least you get to see the Bills play. I don't know how good the Patriots are. 7:30 on ESPN 680 with 93.9 The Ville. Join in at 8 o'clock. It's interesting, too, because you and I had like to have I like to talk to you about the coaches you played for. Bill Belichick and this Patriots without Tom Brady is pretty unremarkable. So,
But, you know, I think this is one of the better Thursday night games that they've had on. I mean, yeah. some of these Thursday night games
have been
real dogs.
Yeah.
But you know, Belichick, the only reason I think that he is even competitive without Brady is the fact that he has the innate ability to take away the other team's best player. Now, I don't know if that means, you know, he's going to try to put pressure on the quarterback, on Allen, the quarterback for the Bills. I don't know if that means he's going to double-team Stephon Diggs to take him away. But he always seems to find a way to at least be competitive. And speaking of that, after this year, and I hope that he rides off into the sunset, but after this year, Brady's going to be a free agent again, and there's some talk out there on the street, Mike, that he's going to go back to New England.
I've heard that, yeah.
And play for the Patriots again next year.
We'll see.
Unbelievable. Okay, well, let's take an early break so that we can get Ben Roberts on. And again, the first hour of the show is brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike forest trails, paddle through clear waters, or venture deep underground. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
This segment with Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
And welcome back. Do yourselves a favor. Visit KentuckyTourism.com. They have all the resources there that you need to find out what's going around the state of Kentucky. And now we're happy to welcome in our UK basketball insider, Mr. Ben Roberts. You can reach him at or follow all of his stuff at Ben Roberts, HL. And Ben is brought to you every week by Martini Bistro out in the Summit. They're open for lunch Tuesday through Friday. Have a great brunch on the weekend. So do yourself a favor and check that out at Martini Bistro. Ben, how are you, my friend?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm terrific. I have two questions. The first one is, did the Herald Leader spring for a ticket for you to go to London? And secondly, how much fun? I really enjoyed your article about the 1948 team. How much fun was it to do that research?
Yeah, the first one, I'm actually standing, I'm looking at Westminster Abbey right now. Big Ben's over here, some other old building. I'm going to have to go check out, see what that is. So, I got here this morning, and we'll be here all week, hopefully getting some good stuff with the team. And, yeah, that 1948 story was a lot of fun looking back through the obviously is the Lexington Leader in the Lexington Herald, and then I looked at some Courier Journal clips too from back then, and the stories were written a little differently, and the quotes were given a little differently. It was pretty entertaining to read back through all that.
So, Ben, Mike, and Doffel here. How are you doing?
Good.
I'm sure you're happy to be in a hotel room for a while and maybe get some sleep. How's the baby?
Yeah. The babies are both doing good. I got 20 minutes of sleep on the plane, so I'm just trying to stay awake. See if I can. I'll probably go to bed about 7 o'clock tonight.
I hear you, man. But the jet lag might be better than. The jet lag might be better than waking up every 3 hours with a newborn, right? So,
yeah, that's true.
Just real quick, you know, I think that when I look at this Kentucky team, I still think they're trying to really figure out who their offense is going to flow through. And I don't necessarily know if it needs to flow through Oscar. What do you think they need to do to really kind of maybe get the rest of the guys kind of going, because it almost feels like Oscar's a little disruptive to what they're trying to do offensively.
Yeah, it does seem like they don't really have. I mean, it's hard to tell what they're doing. I mean, you know, Cal said that going into Thanksgiving break, that he hopes coming out of the break that people would look at the team and say, okay, I at least understand what they're trying to do. I don't know that we really got that from the Bellarmine game. Maybe we'll see more of it on Sunday. But yeah, I mean, they've got, you know, so many different weapons, but they're kind of piecemealing it seems like, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of focus or at least a lot of consistency on what that focus is. You know, when they can spread the court, when Xavier can get in there and kind of discombobulate the defense and get CJ and Antonio open, I think that looks good. But they got to hit the shots, and especially in the couple of big games they played, they haven't been able to hit those shots. So it's obviously still a work in progress. I do like people other than Oscar generating that offense, because you figure you got about a 50-50 shot of Oscar getting an offensive rebound if somebody else misses. So there's a lot of different directions they could go, and I have no idea what they're going to do yet, and it doesn't really seem like Cal does either at this point.
Ben, it looks like to me as I watch this team, it's not a question of what they're trying to do. It's more that they aren't able to really do what they're supposed to do. You know, it looks like they're trying to set picks, but they don't set any solid picks. They don't even do brush picks anymore. They don't get close. So to me, it's more of, you know, are they really doing what Cal wants them to do, as opposed to not having an idea what the plays are?
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of it. And I do, you know, I think Cal has overplayed the, you know, we haven't practiced that line to this point. But, you know, there is some credence to that. And I think the timing, you know, with what you're talking about, picks, handoffs, just general passing, just the timing of the half-court offense has seemed way off. And I think that is a symptom of, you know, especially Oscar missing a month. The team, as it's going to be in big game situations, has not did not practice together for a big chunk of the preseason. I think there's definitely some of that too.
I totally agree with that. Like, I feel like when the team was playing without Oscar, they actually looked like they had better offensive flow in those first couple games. Now they're playing nobody, right? We know that. But at the end of the day, when you take the focal point of that offense and you move it on the inside, all of a sudden you add that into the mix, it's disruptive. But ultimately, what's the buzz over there for this game over in England? I'm very curious. I know that I think England plays a World Cup game on Sunday. The competition's going to be fierce for the eyeballs of those sports fans over there. What's the buzz in England for a Kentucky-Michigan matchup?
I've only been here a few hours, but there really hasn't been yet. And I think there's obviously a ton of World Cup buzz. Everywhere you go, everybody you talk to, every pub you go into, it's all about the World Cup. Cab driver from the airport didn't know there was – he was a – huge sports fan, obviously. Didn't know there was a college basketball game going on Sunday. So, again, I've only been here a few hours. It's, what is today, Thursday? It's still three days away from the game. So, you know, once there were a few Kentucky fans on the flight that I was on, and I'm guessing some more will get here later in the week. I know there were some on the team flight, I believe, earlier this morning too. So I think once we get into the weekend, you're going to see a little bit more blue walking around the streets. But yeah, that England World Cup game is actually overlaps with the Kentucky game. So any kind of, you know, just general curious sports fan that they might be hoping to get out to the O2 Arena, I don't think that's going to happen unless they want to miss England in the knockout round of the World Cup.
We're visiting with Ben Roberts. You can access all of his great stuff at Ben Roberts HL. Ben, I want to go back to that article about the 48 team and kind of give everybody, I mean, this Big Blue Nation stuff, it isn't brand new. Talk about when the team returned to Lexington on the train.
Well, yeah, they come back to Lexington, and according to the reports, they came back. First of all, they went up to New York, won the NCAA title at Madison Square Garden, and then stayed up there to play in this Olympic Trials tournament where they beat Louisville, killed Louisville by more than 30 points, and then beat Baylor again, who they'd already beaten in the NCAA title game, and then lost to basically a pro team, the Phillips Oilers, Phillips 66ers. They had a couple different names. So they lost that game, but still they obviously got the hero's welcome coming back through Kentucky. There were hundreds of people at the train stops in Mount Sterling and Winchester, and then they said 10,000 at Union Station and Lexington and the surrounding area around Union Station. And yes, the hyperbole, I think Leo Chamberlain was the acting president at the time, said that there was no better basketball team in the world, even though they had lost to another basketball team two or three days earlier. Bernie Shively said it was the greatest ovation in the history of the city or something like that. So, yeah, there was a lot of over-the-top stuff, but obviously, yes, a big, big deal in 1948 to get 10,000 people out there and then another 5,000 apparently in the campus area. They got on a fire truck and rode from Union Station to campus through downtown. So, yeah, just one of those, you know, citywide parades to meet them.
That's good stuff right there. And that 66ers team actually combined with Kentucky to go to the Olympics. Is that right?
Yeah. So they took basically the top five players off of both of those teams and then four other players that were in that Olympic trials tournament, just four standout players from different teams. And those were the 14 guys who went over and played in the Olympics and won the gold medal.
Yeah, what a lot of people don't realize is how big AAU basketball was during that time. And right up almost to the beginning of the ABA, there were great teams. You referenced the Oilers or the Phillips team, but there were almost every major corporation in the country. Akron, Goodyear, you know, had AAU teams, and that was very good basketball during that period of time. Ben, let's talk a little bit about the current team. Should we be concerned? It looks like Antonio has replaced CJ in the starting lineup. Do you expect that to continue? And should we be a little concerned about the lack of point production that we're getting off of the bench?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also part of Cal just trying to figure out these lineups and figure out who works where. You know, Damian Collins, a lot of people thought he would have a huge breakout season, and obviously terrible family circumstances earlier in the season kept him away from the team for a couple weeks. Jacob Toppin's another guy who's acknowledged that, you know, he was a guy that was looked at as a possible even first round NBA draft pick around the hype in the preseason, and he's acknowledged that he still needs to be more assertive, needs to play more physical, you know, needs to do more in that regard to kind of take that next step. Some other guys are, you know, they'll look great one game and then kind of disappear the other. And it's, you know, I think it's just they have a lot of good players, and it's really hard to see what the defined roles are to this point. And that's probably pretty natural, you know, seven games into a season to especially, you know, they got a lot of guys back, but they do have a lot of new guys, and they've got guys back who are supposed to play new roles. So, you know, that plus the injuries in the preseason, you know, I don't think it's too much cause for concern. I'm really interested to see what they do Sunday against Michigan, because, you know, they've had some hiccups this season, but they almost beat a really, really good Virginia team a couple nights ago. So I think this will be a really good test, and then UCLA in a couple weeks will be another good test to see if they can, you know, if they struggle in those games like they did, especially in the Gonzaga one, then, you know, you're almost to the new year. I think maybe there is a little cause for concern, but you got to think they start to put it together here.
What do you think? Cal was happy with what he got from the guys following that Bellarmine performance? I'm assuming that he really – I mean, listen, you go guard against that Bellarmine team, you're going to see where you're deficient defensively. And I actually thought they did pretty well.
Yeah, so did I. And, I, you know, it was really, really ugly for about three quarters of that game. But if you're John Calipari, you gotta like the way – they defended throughout the entire thing. And then I think you got to like the way they made adjustments at halftime and kind of saw what they could do a little bit differently and went out there and did it and hit some shots and were more assertive and just kind of, you know, use their will to get, you know, use their length and athleticism and talent to kind of get over the hump there. So, yeah, I think if you're John Calipari, you kind of know what you're walking into with that game, and it wasn't very fun to watch for anybody. But the final result and kind of the way it all came together, especially at the end, I think he's got to be at least a little bit pleased with that.
Visiting with Ben Roberts at Ben Roberts HL, and of course Ben is brought to you by Martini Bistro in the Summit Shopping Center out on Brownsboro Road. Do yourself a favor, stop in for lunch or dinner. You won't be disappointed. Ben, do you think, did they really figure things out in the Bellarmine game, or did Bellarmine, who was coming back from a West Coast swing playing Loyola Marymount and UCLA, did Bellarmine just run out of gas?
Well, I think, I think it's probably fair to say that was part of it, playing two games in L.A. and, you know, Scotty Davenport went through their travel schedule. He wasn't making excuses. He was proving another point. But the way he went through the practice schedule or the travel schedule and what they had to do to get back from LA to get to Lexington in 2 days was quite an itinerary. But I do think, especially Jacob Toppin, you know, he is, and he admits this, he settled for those jumpers and the off balance jumpers and the fadeaway jumpers. When every coach on that team wants him to just take it to the basket and be more physical and be more assertive. And in the second half, he did that. And, you know, especially against that team, that's something that he should have been doing the entire game. But he said at halftime, they just basically looked at what they had been doing and said, you know, we can find some seams here. We can go about it a different way. And he did it. And then some other guys also hit some shots, which always helps and obviously has hurt them in a couple of their big games so far, which they've clearly got to get over against some of these quality teams moving forward. So, yeah, I think it was kind of all those variables put together. But I do think they showed more in the second half than they did in the first, for sure.
I couldn't agree more. And now we get a test on Sunday with a Michigan team who's, you know, they're not Gonzaga. Of course, I don't know if we know that Gonzaga is who Gonzaga. I don't know if anyone can tell us what anything with this college basketball season. You know, it seems to be very, very unique and very interesting. But you would think that now we've got a Power 5 school in Michigan, but it's probably someone that Kentucky should be able to beat and compete well with. How big is – I feel like this game against Michigan is pretty significant for Kentucky's just moving forward. How big do you think this game is for them?
I think it's really big. I did a little bracketology post a couple of days ago, and people were like, oh, it's way too early for that. But, you know, if this team wants to go to the Louisville Regional or wants to stay close to home in the first week, it's not too early for that. They got to start winning some of these games that are going to be on NCAA tournament resumes. And this is a game Sunday that if they lose, doesn't look great on a resume if they're you know, trying to get one of those top seeds at the end of the season. I mean, they're basically in a situation now where if this team is projected, pretty much everybody, and they've got to win a large chunk of these remaining games against teams that you would think would be ranked or teams that are projected in the tournament. Moving forward, they can't have many more stumbles. This is a game that they need to win to bolster that early resume. The UCLA game is another really, really big opportunity. Louisville is not going to do anything to move the seeding needle at this point. The SEC obviously will have a lot of opportunities, but once those teams start beating up on each other, some of those wins might not look as good, and some of those losses might look worse. So, these next two big games, I think, are at least from a seeding standpoint, pretty important.
Ben, to your point, I was really surprised they beat the Ospreys by 40, and yet they fell four places in the rankings. If they lose this game on Sunday, they're completely out of the top 25, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if they lose Sunday, I don't think there's any way they're ranked on Monday afternoon. And that's the other thing is, yeah, I mean, you can beat these teams that are 200 or whatever in the KenPom and look really good doing it. But while you're doing that, some other team that was maybe unranked or ranked on the back end of the top 25 beats a really, really good team. So they're going to move past you even though you won a game by 40 points against a lesser opponent. There's a lot of reasons that the Michigan and UCLA games are important, and national standing is one of them. Confidence is another. Just seeing that guys are going to be on the right page and getting on the right page going into the conference season. It's big. These are two big games.
And I don't know how many games in. You know, we're basically a month into the season, and it might be the craziest first month of college basketball that I can ever remember. What do you make of the parity so far in college basketball?
Yeah, you know, the weird part is that, you know, teams will look great one night and then go out and lose by 20 points, a week or two later. And I don't know what the reason is for that. There's clearly not – I mean, you look at North Carolina, was almost a unanimous number one. I mean, they had like 80% of the first place votes. And they dropped almost out of the top 20 after the week they had. So anybody, Gonzaga with a couple of not bad losses to bad teams, but blowout. You know, they weren't even really in the game. It's wild. It's weird. It doesn't seem to be stopping. So that's a yet another reason why you need to rack up some of these non-conference wins while you still can.
You were probably on an airplane last night, but North Carolina got beat up at Indiana pretty significantly, and they didn't look like the number one team in the country for sure last night, Ben. I'm really excited about this SEC schedule. Tennessee beats Kansas pretty handily. Alabama won in double overtime against a really good team. You know Auburn's going to be good. You know Arkansas is good. This SEC schedule could be really difficult for a lot of different teams.
Yeah, and then you got teams like Ole Miss and Mississippi State that are working their way at least into the tournament conversation, if not the tournament projections at this point. You're looking right now at, again, yeah, it's super early. We're, a quarter into the regular season, but you're looking at half the league that's projected as an NCAA tournament team, and then a couple other teams that would be right there on the bubble, I think. So the road games in the conference are not going to be easy. They never are, but this season especially, it just seems like there's not a whole lot of games that you can pencil in as W's, no matter who you are.
And I guess the guys will come back from London. I know they got the game against Yale and the game against UCLA, and they kind of coast into that Camp Cal period where the tweaks and all that stuff get to happen. So I really feel like this team is going to come together. We're going to know what we have once we get to that Louisville game and get in that early part of that SEC schedule, and know if they're able to make those adjustments and kind of flow. But what do you think they really have got to do going into that camp at Cal period?
Well, I think it goes back to, just general offense and the smoothness of the offense and some sort of direction, or at least, as Dan said, just following through on the game plan and doing what you're supposed to be doing. And all of that needs to come together. And maybe we'll see that on Sunday, because, they did have a ton of practice time over that Thanksgiving break, that 5 days or so that they were off. I mean, they were doing two-a-days. They were doing quite a bit. And that Bellarmine game is not a matchup where that stuff allows itself to come out, I don't think, very well. So if they really did make strides, like some guys are saying they did, and then, had a few more days, and we'll have a few more practices, a couple more practices before Sunday here. I think we'll get a little bit better idea about how far they've come along. But yeah, like you said, Camp Cal, they are going to have the game on the 21st and then the Missouri game before the Louisville game, with Christmas in between it. So, I'm not sure how, they'll practice, some, but, I really think, again, I hate to just pound it into the ground, but the Michigan and UCLA games, I think, will really be indicative of kind of where this team is headed going into the conference schedule.
Ben, we'll let you go on this one, and we appreciate your time, and thanks for joining us all the way from London. I know the game's important, and they're going to be concentrating on that contest, but do you know if the team's going to do some touristy things while they're in London?
Yeah, they are. Maybe even right now, they were supposed to take one of the double-decker bus tours around the city today, but if they're feeling anything like me, they're probably going to fall asleep on that bus. I think they're supposed to tour, I believe it's Chelsea Soccer Stadium tomorrow morning. That was at least the tentative plan. And then they're obviously going to have a couple practices while they're over here, but they are going to get some downtime where I think they're just going to kind of turn them loose for each guy or group of guys or whatever to do whatever they want to do. So it'll be interesting. I hope we get to talk to them about, what they went out and did, because they're staying right here in central London, so they're going to be walking distance to a lot of really, really cool stuff. So it'll be interesting to see who takes advantage of that and who, finds some interesting stuff to go look at.
Yeah, well, get some rest. We appreciate it, and we'll be reading all of your stuff at Ben Roberts HL, and have a good time over there, Ben. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, that's Ben Roberts, and as always, he's brought to you every Thursday morning here on Issel and Louie at 10:30. And sponsored by Martini Bistro out in the Summit Shopping Center. Stop in and have a great Italian meal. Have you done a lot of traveling overseas, Mike?
I've only gone to Italy, and I've gone there a couple of times.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've been blessed to be quite a few interesting places, primarily because of basketball, but also vacation. And there's two places that I've been to that I have gone back to a second time. One is Ireland, and one is Italy. And that is a little difficult to make that flight over there, and with the time change, especially most times you're flying overnight, and your system gets pretty messed up.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I think for me, both times when I went to Italy, I'm greeted by family. So like you've got to be like, ready to go, I guess, as soon as they get off the plane. So, and then especially over there, the food, like they eat so much later. It's all that kind of stuff that you just got to get.
Oh yeah. 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 If you go out in Italy, if you go out for dinner at 7:30, 8 o'clock, you're eating all by yourself.
Yeah. There'll be nobody there.
No, the restaurants are empty at that point. I thought Ben made some great points. This to me, this team just hasn't executed offensively, and he mentioned Damian Collins, and the young man has had a terrible year. personally.
Sure.
But you know, there are some people, and even in the starting lineup, you know, there was some big hype around Toppins and Collins and some of these other players that I don't know it. I haven't seen it yet. And like I said, the next solid screen that Kentucky sets will be the first one. And so they're going to have to start executing better. I watched some of these other – I don't know if you had the opportunity. I watched the doubleheader last night between the first game was Ohio State and Duke. Mm-hmm. And I was really impressed with Duke, you know, as those young guys get through – the year they're going to be tough to deal with, and then Indiana and North Carolina after that, and Indiana handled North Carolina. Indiana's got a freshman that can really play, but there are, and Louie and I talked about this the other day, I think there's 20-25 teams out there that could win the national championship.
I do too, and I think what we're seeing more this year, and I don't know if people are going to, you know, think this is a shot or whatever, but I think coaching matters this year probably more than what I've seen in most recent years. And I agree. Typically, these Kentucky teams don't screen, and I don't know about you, but like I'm always watching defensively. I've always where I was pretty impressed with how they handled Bellman, even though they gave up some backdoor opportunities, and whatever else, they actually handled them pretty well. I've always not liked the way that Kentucky has guarded off the ball screens and traditionally how they have guarded off the ball movement in general. And so I was happy with what I saw from them there, but they don't, you know, Cal teams typically don't set screens. So like all this is new, and you know, the number that I'm going to look for, first off, I think Cason Wallace is going to have to establish himself as a little bit more of a presence. I think that's going to have to happen for them to be successful. I also think that if we can get Oscar to understand that if he has 3 assists a game, we've probably got a pretty good chance of winning. Mm-hmm. If it's not just such a black hole when the ball goes into the post, and I know as a post player who you probably got the ball and you know you it was going to go up all every time. But to your point about Oscar just being such a dominant force on the rebound side, you know, let's do those inside out threes and let Oscar get some rebounds and go that way.
Yeah, and the screening thing, I mean, I know as a defensive player, if you had a solid screen set on you, I mean, that was hard. That was hard to defend when you did it. And in my mind, the quickest way to get open when you're on offense is to set a solid screen.
Absolutely.
and let the defense make a decision. And you watch this Kentucky team play, they're supposed to, I guess they're supposed to set screens. They don't come within 5 feet of the guy. So
right.
I don't know.
It's a lost art. Lost art, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah. After the break, we'll visit with Jay Davis. And, of course, this hour of the show is brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. If you're looking for some thrills this weekend, hop on a mountain bike, race through Whitewater Rapids, or zip through the treetops, this is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.